This Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to be using scripture passages from the letter of James. I want to say just a little bit about this. 40 years ago, about when I went to seminary, we didn't spend a whole lot of time on the letter of James. Biblical scholars weren't quite sure what they thought about the letter to James. But since that time, and especially in the past 20 years, I think it's better understood than it was. Let me put it that way. For a long time, people thought, well, it was contradictory to the kinds of things that Paul taught, and we'll talk about some of that today. But I want to just say a few things to think about here. James is more like Job, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs than it is like the other books of the New Testament. And in that regard, it's very Jewish. And it is that way because of the audience. James was the brother of Jesus. He was not a believer, not a disciple until after Easter. And then he became a believer. And he would be considered the pastor of the church that was in Jerusalem. Now, these folks were all still going to the temple and still worshiping in the temple, but they were also learning what it meant to be followers of Jesus and understanding that Jesus was the Messiah. And so that really changes the dynamics of the way in which James is writing to these folks, and we see that in this letter. So let me read to you. I'm reading from the first chapter, verses 17 through 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what the word says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Got a little video that I want you to take a look at and think about as we start here.
The last time you stopped and evaluated your life, I mean really took the time to decide what the most important things are. The sad truth is most of us don't do that. We just live our lives day after day. But the truth is life is a series of choices, and the things that we choose are the things that are most important to us. If we don't evaluate our lives and decide and clarify what's most important, we'll end up wasting it. The Bible says that it is the intelligent man who aims at wise actions, but the fool starts off in many directions. If that's our gauge of how we're going to evaluate our lives, the sad truth is many of us are going to fall into the category as fools. But none of us wants to live foolish lives. We want to be wise. Therefore, we have to consider the words of Christ, who said that the most important things in life are to love God and to love others. In evaluating your priorities and clarifying what the most important thing is in life, we have to use that as our measuring stick. But we have to choose. God doesn't decide for us that we're going to have good priorities. In fact, Job said that we can choose what sounds to listen to and what taste we want in food, and we should choose what is right. But first of all, we must define what is good. What is good in your family? What's good in your personal life? What's good at work? That is how you clarify what is most important. Because look, when you consider your life, the question of whether you're going to waste it or use it, it all comes down to whether you've clarified what's most important. Because when it's all said and done, your life, just a dash between two dates.
Like I said, the letter of James really fits more with Job, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs. In other words, it's wisdom literature, knowing what is good. And so I want to think about it in terms of wisdom. Now, the catch with using this as for preaching is there's no storyline here. You know, there's nothing to follow along. There's just kind of one bumper sticker after another in terms of what, you know, something to remember, something to say. And so I was trying to think, okay, I need some kind of a crutch here or I'll lose you all in the first 5 minutes. So these are my crutch. Let me pass these out. Yeah, one each or one per couple, something like that. We'll see, and hopefully there's enough to go around. But pass this around, and I've kind of summed up 5 points here, in terms of how the verses go and the high points, and so I have an exercise that I want you to go through. Together or with the person you're sitting next to or in front or behind you, however that works, as we think about what this is all about. This is one of the earlier written books. Matthew's gospel was a gospel that was written to a Jewish audience. And there's the kinds of things that connect in Matthew aren't talked about so much in the other Gospels. I mean, there's some similarity, especially with Mark, but it's to a Jewish audience. And again, James is to a Jewish audience and Jewish folks who have become believers. And so it has that. It had to have been written before 62 A.D. because James was killed by the Romans for his faith in 62. How are we doing? We got enough? We should have 12 baskets full left over. Yeah. Yeah, with some fish in there too. Okay. All right. Okay, we got enough to go around? Good deal, good deal. So you think about these folks and how these folks were different from the people that Paul was talking to. Well, these people already knew God. They're already worshiping God. They were, they knew the Old Testament. We're familiar with the Old Testament and the Old Testament teachings. And so those kinds of things didn't need to be taught. But James is trying to make the connections here between the wisdom literature of the Old Testament and the kinds of things that Jesus had taught. And so that's what they're up to. Now, one of the things, two things that really prompted the writing of this letter was that there were two dangerous factions that were at work that were affecting his flock. The first was that there was a group of folks who wanted to overthrow the government. Okay, and so there was this constant undertone of political agitation that was going on. And the other dangerous group was a religious group that wanted to talk about the end times, wanted to talk about how things are going downhill fast and are never going to be any worse and the end is near. And so I think, well, that's pretty relevant today. You know, because you look around and there are folks who are agitated and want to overthrow the government, and there are folks that are saying it's the worst it's ever been and it's only going to get worse. And James is trying to get people back to reality, and so no, God is in control. God has the future. God has promised, and So that's where we come down to this, and I think it kind of makes sense to take a look at that and to think about how we're fighting against these factions. Okay, so we start with agreeing on the most important thing. Every good and perfect gift is from above. All that is good comes from above. Or you might say, God is good all the time. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so that's pretty simple to put that together and think about that. And you kind of start from that, and then he moves into to some self-control issues. Anger will not produce righteousness. Okay, the more angry you get, that doesn't mean things are going to get better. That just isn't the way it works. And common sense will tell us that. No, if I want things to get better, I need to be angry. How does that compute? That just doesn't compute. It's not going to work. Instead, you need to rely on the Word of God to lead you. Okay, you think about that. You know, we see a lot of anger in our society today. There's less than a mile from our house. You know, we passed it on the way here. We've got one of the folks in our community has an effigy of the president hanging in his front yard. That doesn't give me any warm fuzzy. It's just a few blocks from an elementary school, and when the kids ride past that on their way to school in the morning, what is that? I don't know what message he's trying to send, but that's not the way to do it. Anger is not going to get you to where you want to go. It just doesn't work. So you need to rely on your faith. You need to feel confident. There's no reason to be angry. The cure for a bad temper is a change of attitude. And usually you find out that if you can remember all the things you're thankful for, you know, all of that stuff we've learned in our past about counting our blessings and thinking about what we have instead of thinking about what we haven't, you need a change of attitude if anger is the way you're feeling most of the time. So self-control is what James is talking about. Quick listening. I kind of like that. You think about that. Wants to talk about quick listening. Quick listening. Slow speaking. So you see the contrast there. I want to be quick to listen. And of course that means quick to understand. I want to understand what I'm hearing. I want to understand what you're saying. And I'm going to be slow to speak, because I want to speak so that I'm understood. And so I think that's interesting to think about that. I think we often talk about, well, slow to speak. Well, but it's the quick to listen that I think is a fun thing to think about. Yeah, I'm going to be quick to listen. And, you know, you got that old saying, got two ears and one mouth, because you're supposed to listen twice as much as you speak. When I was reading through that and thinking about controlling my tongue and thinking about anger, I was thinking of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, the love chapter, particularly verse 5. Love does not insist on its own way, and that is why it is not easily provoked. That's my translation. It's not easily provoked. So then, what James gets into is walking the walk and not just talking the talk. Now, again, he's talking to people who saw their religious life as following ritual. They went to the temple. There were things you did at the temple. There were prayers that you said every day, that you said routinely, and you said a prayer when you washed your hands. You said a prayer before your meal. You did these things because that was the ritual. That's what you were taught to do. And so it kind of fits into the idea of, you know, well, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you quickly forget what you saw? Are these things that you're doing that you think is practicing your religion, is that really part of your faith? Is that really real? Does it come from here? Or is it something that you're doing because you've always done that and you were taught that that's what you were supposed to do? So if you consider the audience and them understanding that being faithful meant, well, I go to the temple when I'm supposed to go to. I say this prayer when I'm supposed to, you know, that kind of thing. Or are you really living out the faith? Are you doing those things that Jesus taught us? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I mean, you know, Jesus condensed it that quickly. Now, he probably used Micah 6:8. There's a memory verse for you. Do you know Micah 6:8? And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. See, that fits very well into the kind of thing that James is talking about in terms of thinking about these things that we should be doing. True religion and the law of liberty. I want you to think about that, because we got quite an argument going on in our country right now about what freedom is. And freedom is what God says freedom is. Reality is what God says reality is. Truth is what God says that truth is. And so when we get wrapped up into some fraction of any of those things, we're in trouble. But freedom is the opportunity to make a choice. I don't imagine anybody's going to disagree with that. It's the opportunity to make a choice. The catch is that a person of faith, a Christian person, is going to ask themselves, do I want to choose to please myself, or do I want to choose to please God? And that's the catch. I have the freedom to choose. I can choose whether I want to please myself, or I can choose, do I want to please God? And it usually puts a different twist on the kinds of things that you're going to choose to do. When you look in a mirror, what do you see? I seem to be more wrinkles all the time. You know, I suppose, you know, eventually my eyesight will fail enough that I'll look younger again. But when I look in the mirror, what I'm supposed to see is a reflection of Jesus Christ. And if I don't see that, then I need to reconsider the choices that I'm making, need to reconsider my priorities, need to reconsider what I'm doing. Okay, now I haven't used up all my time because I knew that I was going to lose you at some point, so I'm going to do that. What I want you to do now, and do pretty quickly, is take a look at that. They've got those five things there. And I want you to, if you've got something to write with, write down what comes to your mind when you take a look at those things and, you know, share with the person next to you if you want to do that. All that is good comes from God, okay? You know, maybe name some good thing that comes from there. Name the first thing you come. Self-control. What kind of self-control have you used? What kind of self-control have you seen used? What have you done? Hearing and doing. What does that mean to you? Hearing and doing. Four is control of the tongue. When have you controlled your tongue? When have you wished you would have controlled your tongue? When would you have wished your spouse had controlled her tongue? No. Yeah, I'll change that in the next sermon, okay? Yeah. And true religion. Can you define true religion? In a very short way. Okay, you got 2 minutes. How's that? 2 minutes. Go to it. Feel free to talk. Okay, we done? Finished for good? Okay, I'm ready for some responses. Anybody want to respond to number one? All that is good comes from God?
Why?
Family.
Family.
Smile.
Life, health.
All good. All good answers. How about self-control?
I don't have it.
Faith before actions.
Good.
Road rage.
Road rage, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I probably suffer from that as much as anything.
Help.
Don't always have the last word.
Don't always have the last word, that's good.
Pray, that's the only way.
Good answers. How about hearing and doing?
Actions.
Saying and doing the same thing. Don't just say something and do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Give back what you have been given.
Very good. All right, how about control of the tongue? Yeah.
How about I don't need an opinion on that? I don't have to have an opinion on that. Somebody lays it out, talks to me, and I don't have to have an opinion. I can just leave that alone.
Mm-hmm. Mind your mind. Okay. True religion. What'd you come up with for true religion? Freedom? Is that what I heard?
No, believing.
Believing. Believing.
Loving as God loves.
Loving as God loves.
Honor God.
Honor God.
Every day is if
it were
a Sunday.
Mike, did you?
I said treat every day as if it were a Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Only Jesus.
Only Jesus. Okay. A plus. You did well. Everybody moved to the front of the class. Unless you'd rather sit at the back of the class. Next week, we'll take a look at this. We'll go on. We've got a passage from chapter 2 of the epistle that we're going to take a look at. And we're going to take a look at some F words as we're doing that. A little loaded, maybe?